Good morning.
Good morning.
We are so blessed to have you all with us. Let's start in prayer. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives today, in the midst of us, in our nation, in the suburbs we live. Wherever we are, may your will be done on earth and in our families' lives, where we have work, in Jesus' name, where we study, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready to praise? You know, I'm so excited. What about you? But if you're able, why don't you just stand up? Stand up and let every part of you praise him, because he is worthy of praise. Amen. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know, we live in the natural realm, but our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle all of the defenses. And we find that in Corinthians. You know, our God is a God of power and might. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So come on, let's stand up and praise the Lord. Woo! For who he is.
Spirit.
That's pretty good.
has given us the power and the authority to use His name. And the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to share today as Jesus stood in front of the tomb of Lazarus. Everyone's weeping. It's been 4 days. And they're all looking to Jesus. Jesus, why didn't you come earlier? You could have saved Lazarus. Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come? You could have saved him. You could have healed him. But he's laying behind the tomb. He's in the tomb. Wrapped. Dead. Gone. Gone. Dead. Jesus stood. He looked up. The Father. And he said, I will use the power you have given me. And he said, called out, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus. And much to everyone's amazement, hallelujah, hallelujah, through the dead state, out came Lazarus, still wrapped in, it looked like the mummy in all of the cloths. He came forth in the resurrected power of God. And God has given us this power and authority. Why are we wimps? Why are we cowards? Why do we fear? He has given us power and authority to use His name. And we need to practice the discipline of walking consciously with Jesus throughout our days. It's when we forget He's with us, fear and loneliness attacks. But when we are aware of His presence, peace displaces the negative feelings. God has made some specific promises in His Word, and it's His will to fulfill every one of them in our lives. These promises are divinely guaranteed by a contract signed in the blood of Jesus. Our Bibles are the last will and testament of our Jesus Christ. Our Bibles are a record of our inheritance. Everything that belongs to us has been given, been written down in the Bible. And you know the smartest thing for us to do is to pick up our Bibles. Get them off the shelf. Get them from where they're buried underneath. The smartest thing for us to do is to go and find out what's in it. Find out what's in the Bible. And base our prayers on His promises. We are to live in His power. As believers, we actually have residing in us the same new life that God gave Jesus when He raised Him from the dead. The old sinner we were has died, and we've become a new creation on the inside. We are full of the resurrection life of God. And Ephesians 6, oh, I love Ephesians 6:10. Be supernaturally infused with the strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in and through you. All that is the God we serve. So pick up those Bibles, open them up, dive in and see what He has for you. Amen. Exalt, Lord, our God. Exalt the Lord. Let's start again, Peter.
Resurrected.
Yes. Exalt the Lord, our God. Forgive me. Exalt the Lord our God. times, but hallelujah. I just love Jesus with all my heart. They say, why are you so different? Why are you so happy? You know why I'm happy? Because years, few years back, I took on the evil report. They said that I would deteriorate more and more every day, and I would spend the rest of my times in a wheelchair. And I didn't like the sound of that. And I gave up my will to live. Oh, it was the worst thing I ever did. Wow, the enemy had fun with me. I gave up my will because I didn't want to be a vegetable for the rest of my life. And I didn't want to be a burden for my family. And I didn't want to be a it. So I found myself, I died, and I went to heaven, and my husband's here as witness. He saw my spirit go. But Jesus sent me back. He sent me back. He said, it's not your time yet. And I'm here today to tell you, Jesus is alive. I stood before him in heaven. He's alive. Whoa. He's powerful. And he's huge. Oh, he's big. The earth is his footstool. Amen? So he sent me back. I didn't want to come back. Oh, I fought him. Oh, I was stubborn. I was fighting inside. But I had to go back into my body. The resurrected power of God brought me back to life. And I'm standing here because I love the Lord with all my heart. And I honor and serve him with everything in me. That's why I'm so happy. Because when you're being dead, when you're dead and come to life, everything is so beautiful. Everything is so beautiful. And you appreciate life. So you might have received a bad, evil report. But I'm here today as living proof, testimony, that the resurrected power of God, just as Lazarus came to life, is by the name of Jesus. It's the power in his name. And it's up to us to take it and believe it. And all you need, this is a little tiny seed, a mustard seed of faith in him. You don't need mountains of faith. Just a mustard seed of faith. He's a miracle, miracle working God. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So as Pastor Paul comes up now, we're going to sing where's so. I'm so happy, I'm so very happy in heart, got Jesus on my side. I'm so happy, I'm so very happy in heart, got Jesus on my side. It is for you, it is for me, who can stand against me in heart, got Jesus on my side. For me, who can stand against me? I've got Jesus on my side. I'm so happy, I'm so very happy. I've got Jesus on my side. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think I can almost sit down. We've had enough preaching today. All good. All good. Thank you. We're going to start in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God kept releasing a flow of extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. Because of this, people took Paul's handkerchiefs and articles of clothing, even pieces of cloth that had touched his skin, laying them on the bodies of the sick, and the diseases and demons left them, and they were healed. Now there were seven itinerant Jewish exorcists, sons of Sceva, the high priest, who took it upon themselves to use the name and authority of Jesus over those who were demonized. They would say, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches." And one day when they said those words, the demon in the man replied, "I know about Jesus and I recognize Paul, but who do you think you are?" Then the demonized man jumped on them and threw them to the ground, beating them mercilessly. He overpowered the seven exorcists until they all ran out of the house naked and badly bruised. All the people in Ephesus, say Ephesus, were awestruck, both Jews and non-Jews, when they heard about what had happened. Great fear fell over the entire city, and the authority of the name of Jesus was exalted. Many believers publicly confessed their sins and disclosed their secrets. Large numbers of those who had been practicing magic took off their books and their scrolls of spells and incantations and publicly burned them. When the value of all the books and the scrolls was calculated, it came to several million dollars. The power of God caused the word to spread, and the people were greatly impacted. It goes on talking about riots breaking out in that city, Ephesus. And we see the concentrated effort in the Apostle Paul's teaching into the church of Ephesus concerning the occult, concerning the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ over the occult and everything to do with the occult. He also emphasized the whole armor of God as a requirement for the believer to enjoy the victory that Jesus Christ has had over the devil and his system. So it's so important. When you realize that Ephesians was written to deal with the challenge that was in that city, the occult challenge that was in that city, and how the believers were to move forward and walk in that victory that Jesus had, and how important that armor of God was and is to every believer. So with that in mind, let's have a look at it. We'll start in Ephesians chapter 1. Whilst we're turning over there, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive. Yes. Father, we just thank you that your word is alive. Amen. When we mix faith with it, in Jesus' name. Yes. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the transformation in our thinking and our appropriation of the power that's in the name of Jesus. And to appreciate and apply the whole armor of God to our daily lives. Amen. That we can truly walk in the victory of Christ, enforcing his will to expand the kingdom on earth in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Yes. So Ephesians 1, we see that initially, he says in verse 3, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. So we have all these gifts, all these spiritual gifts already endowed in us. As in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. May grace and the perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that beyond all prize, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership. So partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. Partnership with the divine nature. So we think, okay, well, this is powerful. So these are the things that he's already invested in us through the Holy Spirit. In verse 14 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, he says, "For he has given to us like an engagement ring as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God." And this is as a result of now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. That's in verse 13. So the presence of the Holy Spirit in us is like God giving us an engagement ring. We are connected. We are under promise. And he has purpose in it. Now verse 18, he says, "I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling." Now we're in partnership with Christ, so we are, together with the Holy Spirit, fulfill Christ's ministry on the earth today. Okay? Yeah, you're right. So like we are entering into partnership. "I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes." Well, God is light. 1 John 1:7, God is light. He is light. So when we received Christ, he came into us. So the light of God, God's light is in us. Okay? And that's when Jesus said, we don't put the light under a table. We put it on top of the table. The light needs to shine. Well, the light is in our spirit. Okay? Our born-again spirit. We are to open up our spirits for the Holy Spirit to flood our souls. It's like our soul is the lamp and it requires the Spirit to flow into it so that the light is seen. The glory of God needs to shine through our soul into our world. So this is what he's praying, see? "I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination." It's like Elijah asking God to open his servant's eyes, his spiritual eyes, that he can see into the realm of the Spirit. We got Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas said, "I won't believe any of this until I see him for myself. I put my fingers through the nails in his hands and my fist in his side where the spear pierced him." He said, "Oh, no, I only believe what I see." And so then when Jesus turned up, what did he do? Here's Thomas trembling and sinking into the ground. But Jesus says, "Now listen, Thomas, come on. Put your hand, your fingers through the nail holes in my hands and your fist in my side, because that's what you demanded to have before you believe. You can imagine how he felt. Or like the Apostle Peter, you know, I'll die for you, Jesus. You're one of Jesus' disciples, that woman said after they'd arrested Jesus. She said, no, I've got nothing to do with him. He denied him three times before the cock crowed. What are we saying with that? That if I'm looking for a demonstration before I believe, I'm always going to have an issue, right? And that can keep me from seeing. So the apostle is saying, okay, Ephesus, you're surrounded with occult. Now today, more than ever, everything is being changed. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And the demonic stuff is everywhere. How do you know? What do you call demonic? Lies. The Bible tells us that the devil is the father of lies and all liars. And there's no liars that go to heaven. We can't trust the media. You can't trust politicians. It used to be you only had trouble believing a second-hand car salesman. Right? Used to be. Lies. Lies. That's our cult. It's everywhere. And so here's the apostle talking to Ephesus at that time. The city was practicing occult. Spells and incantations. All of these aspects. You think, well, Philip got sent down to Samaria and there was a warlock down there that had the whole city under his spell through the demonstrations of delusion that he manifested. And the control and the manipulation that he had over the people. This was a warlock. And Philip went down there and he was casting out the demons that this person had afforded to influence the city. And then they had their eyes open. You follow what I'm saying here? This was a mega center of the occult, and the apostle is dealing with these people. Now, we read in Acts where these exorcists saw what was working through Paul and so emulated what he did without having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Simon the sorcerer asked for the same power to lay hands on people and they received the Holy Spirit as the apostles. But he was looking again to get an edge to make money. To control and manipulate and to have the exaltation of the people again. He'd lost that. He wanted it back. And he saw that when the apostles did that, they were revered. So he wanted it. But here's this issue. That if my eyes are shut to the spirit realm, I am going to be forfeiting my spiritual inheritance. Yes. Amen. I'm going to be walking in less than what yes. I've already been given, is what he's saying. I've already. Yes. So, the money that I have in the bank account, it's in my bank account, and I haven't spent it. It's there, I can spend it, but it's for this or that or the other, right? So I exercise self-discipline and I don't spend it. But then again, I could be saying, I'm afraid to be without, so I keep saving. And I never spend anything. So then the reason that I'm saving is because I'm afraid of being without. Well, that's demonic. That's fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. Right, so if I am wrongly associated with things, you know, like we could say security. If my thing is security and independence, So I'm secure and snug, and I'm all right. I'm on board. I'm all right. You know, it's raining in this paddock, but it's not raining in my neighbour's paddock. It's all right. I'm not worried about him. I got rain. I can even skite about it. I got rain and he didn't get rain. Yeah. The point, right smack bang in the middle of this city is all sorts of a concentrated alcohol situation. And so when they saw the result of these people going through the system of deliverance for this fella, and so this is another thing, this guy that they were praying for, these exorcists, they were praying for this guy, right? One guy. They're praying for one guy. There's seven exorcists. There's seven of them, right? One guy they're praying for. And these were the prominent exorcists in that city. So they had reputation. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 12. He said, if I cast out demons, as you say, by the power of Beelzebub, by what power do your sons, your exorcists, cast them out? You're right? So what power were they? So this is another area of question. But the point of it is that these weren't nobodies. They were somebodies. And they saw the impact that the Apostle Paul was having through faith in the name of Jesus. And so they took the system. Like, how do we replicate and get the results that you do? What's the system? Now, if they had listened to him, he would say to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and make him Lord of your life. And then through personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you receive the inherited right to use his name of authority. Now, they just wanted the system. They wanted the results. They wanted the reveal, just like Simon the sorcerer. One man, full of devils. Now, this was interesting and scary. You can imagine. The whole city came under fear when they realized, hang on a minute, this occult business is not a game. You actually get identity beings, like beings with identity, that come into you, that influence you, that take control over your habits and strengthen your habits until they're in control of you and you're not in control of them. And how many times did you think, you know, if you're a smoker and you said, oh, no, I just have a casual drink, it hasn't got any grip on me. But you find out if you have to give it up, it's not so easy. You think, oh, hanging out for that, I've lost control. I'm not in control. Now my habit is living my life. Well, what's behind that? This is what they found out. And so one fellow jumped on them, tore their clothes off. And why was that? To humiliate them. To teach them a lesson. This is the devil now. You can imagine what we talk about. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but the first thing that the devil wants to give you is a spirit of fear. Every one of them would have been the recipients of a demon of fear and intimidation. They wouldn't dare stick their head up or their hand up again, right? To approach deliverance for somebody that is bound by an evil spirit. Why? Because they've just lost it, man. They have been inhabited by a spirit of fear and intimidation and panic. They're all spirits. Then he beat them up mercilessly. He didn't just throw them out. He beat them black and blue. See, the devil always overplays his hand. So he sent out a tremendous, or set loose a tremendous marketing exploit. These guys went out, right? They're naked, right? They're naked. You know the king that had no clothes, but he thought he did?
Yes.
Remember that king?
Yes.
What is he?
The emperor's new clothes.
The emperor's new clothes. He went out and paraded before all of his people in his new clothes. Can you imagine walking down the main street in the town with no clothes on? No. Look, I mean, how deluded. But they were deluded in the first place, thinking that they could use the name of Jesus to cast demons out. So here's this situation in the city where they're stripped naked and beat to a pulp. You know, like those interviewing Elon Musk on in the Oval Office, the White House. This is the end of his 134-day Doge experience. And he's got a black eye. He's got a black eye. World press. And so the press said, "What happened to your eye, Elon?" And he said, "I was messing with my young son, X. And we said, oh, well, you know, if you do that, you'd probably hit me in the face." And he said, so he did, bang. He said, well, that's the result, you know. They weren't interested so much in what he'd done that he was concluding. They were all interested in the battle wound. No one did. And President Trump turned around and he said, "Did your son do that to you?" It was news to him too, you see. Because initially, it looks like, oh, Elon's got a new feature. He didn't draw any attention to it, you know. So if you don't say anything, nobody will. But the press did. But you can imagine in Ephesus, these guys, the same as Elon Musk. I mean, they are the who's who, you know, in the occult realm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So if you've got a haunted house, you'd call these guys. And you see, and people say, "What do you mean a haunted house?" You see, just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean to say it doesn't happen. Ask Thomas. you understand what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people dismiss the spirit realm because they can't see it. Just because they can't see it doesn't mean to say that it doesn't exist. You right? But when their eyes are open. So this is how important it is that the apostle is praying that their eyes be opened. Okay, be opened. And what's it all centered around? The power of the blood and the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And the partnership that we have through faith in Jesus with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You all right?
Yes.
So what's he dealing with? He's dealing with this fear that's taken over the whole city. So he's telling them, you don't have to fear if you're in Christ. Ah, you see, are we getting somewhere?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I think so. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light, until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you.
Amen.
So you can see the advertisement in this city where this fear is. So you're walking, what? Without fear. You've got peace and composure. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every, say every, every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and the source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. The highest rank.
Amen.
And now we, his church, are his body on the earth and that which fills him who is being filled by it. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth and that which fills him who is being filled by it. And his fullness fills you even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses, just like Lazarus was dead and he stunk. Yes. And then he was introduced to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy, even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Listen to this. He raised us up with Christ, and the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority. So we've been raised up into that maturity and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Wow. And when do we discover that? When do we discover that? This authority in action. When we use the name of Jesus. But when we're walking in our daily walk, we're light. And around us is dark. The light will push the dark back. Okay. So you can see why he's praying and teaching them. Okay, right. So we go over to Ephesians 5, verse 24. Well, actually, we'll pick it up in verse 20. We better go back. Start in 17, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say, you should not live like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. Because of spiritual apathy, they surrendered their lives to lewdness, impurity, and sexual obsessions. But this is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded within you. If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard his truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that sprang from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed, say transformed, transformed, as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. Okay, so this, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. As I've said to you before, when I got married, I left behind my individual bachelor life. Now I conduct my life and affairs as a married man. I am now in union with my wife. I can't continue on as a single person. I have to keep in mind that I'm married. Okay? Now, not only is my wife a good cook, she is amazing with practical things. Amazing. Has my union with her depleted me in any way, or has it been a positive advancement? It's a positive advancement.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So now, here I am. I have now given my heart to Jesus Christ, and I have entered into union with him. Now let's look at what he can do. Yes. Let's look at what he's got to bring into the union.
Amen.
Why would I ignore my union with Christ with all of his benefits and continue to live single? Well, that sounds dumb, doesn't it? Do you not? Okay. But like Thomas, you see, the old Thomas is representing the old life, yeah? I'll only believe it if I see it, and only believe half of what I hear. Right? Well, if I haven't seen it with my own eyes, I ain't going to believe that. You can't believe what you hear anyway. I gave my heart to Christ. Jesus came into my life. Now, what is this? Jesus is a spirit being.
Amen.
Okay? This other entity, another entity called Jesus Christ, came into this body. So you invited. I asked my wife to marry me. And she stayed.
Wow. Hallelujah.
She stayed. She became a permanent part of my life. She moved in with me. She sleeps in my bed.
Wow.
She eats at my table. Now I invited Jesus Christ into my heart and into my life.
Yes.
There's nothing that he hasn't got access to.
Amen.
Whether I am giving him access or not. Can you? Now, I married you, but, you know, I've got the boys' night out. I know I play darts this night, and I do the football this night, and I do the other things this night. Balance there with Pete is he also partners Lorena in all of her missions, carts and carries and does all of the hard yakka behind the scenes, and it's a union that's blessed. Okay, but the So there you have an example of, as Lorena and Peter, they're working. They work together. Each respects the other's space. Each respects the contribution, and each work together as one.
Yes.
So I've got to do this with Jesus. You understand me? And that's what he's saying. All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:17 tells me that when I've gave my heart to Christ, I became one spirit with him. So we have been supernaturally put together as one. You can't tell where he begins and I end, and where he ends and I begin. You can't tell, you know. Okay, so we're one. Now, what makes me different from everybody else on the planet? My soul. What did God originally in the garden want? He wanted man to be a living soul. Yes? Okay. The soul and the spirit are joined. The powerhouse for the life is in the spirit, but the life has to flow through the soul. Okay. So what most Christians do, they've got the spirit where the light is, God, the light. He's trapped there. He's trapped. They haven't allowed him to come into the soul and to take his place as Lord of their body, his temple. They haven't done that. So as a result, they're not even beginning to learn how to walk in the spirit. Because they haven't done that. Being married. Some people call it a ball and chain. There's a horrible expressions about marriage. But what they haven't done is just, you know, worked. I like what my wife says. You only get out of life what you put in it. You only get out of marriage what you put in it. If you're looking to take it, you've missed it. Point. Right? We're a team. We're a team. We're going to rejoice over the victories that we have together. Right? And it's a covenant. It's something I said. I'll grow old with you. That's a lifetime. You know, that old Beatles song. Will you still love me? Will you still need me? When I'm 64. Well, I'm past 64, man. I'm moving towards 74. And my wife's still there, still loves me, and she's still working with me. You know, like, so. But at 20, you think, oh, 40s. Man, that's over the hill. Right, you get to 40 and you think, oh man, I've just learned what it's like to be on this planet. You know, like I've just come out of apprenticeship. Anyway, so learning to open up my spirit for the Holy Spirit to flood my soul, to heal my soul, to deliver me from traumatic experiences and offenses. Offenses, man.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, if you hold unforgiveness or an offense against someone else, forget about your prayers being answered. He's so emphatic about it. He says, stop everything you're doing and get sorted out with that unforgiveness. Leave your gifts. Don't even dare to put that into the kingdom, because it's not going to produce. It's disqualified because your heart isn't in your giving, and you can't be wholehearted when you have an offense against somebody. He said, if you don't forgive them, I can't forgive you. Right? And Luke 17 is huge about that. And he says, now when you do forgive them, when you do release them from the offense, don't think you did some great thing. He says, you only did what you were commanded to do. You've only done what was right to do. So don't rejoice over the fact that, oh, well, I'm so big-hearted, I let them go. What has God done for you? He's let you go of your stuff. He's let me go of my stuff. And he also says, if I don't release them, I'm not released.
Wow.
Okay, so when we're talking about the occult, we're talking about the demonic, don't give place to the devil. Amen. He says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, you're not ignorant of how the devil uses offenses to take you captive as his will. 2 Timothy 2:26. He uses it. It's like you've been impaled with a big spear and this fat devil sitting on the end of that spear, jumping up and down and giving you hari-kari all the time, you know, just ruining your life, reminding you of that mongrel that did this to you and that mongrel that said that to you. And I'm thinking that that clown is thinking this about me and they haven't even said it, but I'm thinking they're thinking it, you know, mongrel. And I'm offended at what you haven't said, boyo. Oh, man. And if you dare to open up your mouth, I'm really going to crack you. They haven't done a damn thing. And yet you're offended. That you're offended that they're breathing the same air as you are. Gee. Right. And the devil's having in the heyday. And that's what he's saying, praying, God, open their eyes. You see, and he's talking to them about their lifestyle.
Yes.
Their lifestyle.
Yes.
And he keeps pointing them back to their union with Christ.
Amen.
Okay. Wow. So. None of that's in my notes. I have to come to find out what he's going to preach. Myself. I said, I'm always surprised. So, hallelujah.
So,
amen. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24, we'll go back there. And to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within. Okay, when did Jesus become the Christ? When he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So every time we see in Christ, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, we're looking at the union that was formed between Jesus and the Holy Spirit from the Jordan River on. Okay, so from here on out, when we're talking about union with Christ, that's the Holy Spirit in us. So he is a person. Say the Holy Spirit's a person. Holy Spirit's a person. And he lives in me. Same height, same width. You know what I mean? Like, he fits like a glove into my spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Now he wants to have access to my body.
Yes.
Okay? And that all of those wounds in our souls, he wants to heal it.
Yes.
So on his way from the spirit through your soul, through your personality, into his temple, he's healing, delivering, and restoring. You know, David in Psalm 23, we love that psalm. But he restores our soul. Give him permission to restore your soul. When do you do that? When you give him permission to live or to flow from your born-again spirit into your soul with healing, deliverance, and restoration, and then take his place in his temple as Lord, thinking, inspiring your mind, opening your spiritual eyes, opening your spiritual ears, your nose, and your mouth. And the tongue, you know, my goodness, put a watch over your tongue.
Yes. Amen.
Right? And then he relates to the world through his temple, your body. And to establish this kind of glory right around you. Right? And he does. Praise God. All right. And to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness. And you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. Now, realm, that's that spirit realm where the kingdom of God is a realm. Okay? So we don't walk by sight, a physical sight, but we walk with the knowledge of the spiritual realm. That holds everything we need in place until we pull on it by faith. Okay, so I'm in the middle of writing this teaching booklet on faith, and one of the things about it is what I'm talking to you about. Opening your spirit to flood your soul so the Holy Spirit can take his place as Lord. Okay, and we're talking lifestyle. Okay. The Holy Spirit is the supernatural gift of faith. How does it work? He releases his power through your words. But if he's in union with you, he's inspiring your words. Are you hearing me? Now, what's my part? My part, you know, like to get a car going, we need gasoline and we need a spark plug. All right, so we need the electrical and we need, okay. So my part is to turn the ignition on. So I'm sitting in the seat, quite some distance from the vehicle, the engine. I'm sitting in the comfort of the cabin. And I turn a key, and an electric spark hits this fuel. And there's an explosion, right? An explosion that drives the pistons. Okay. So my job is to, in conscious of union. So if I'm conscious with the union, I'm looking for agreement. Yes? How can two walk together unless they are agreed? How can my wife and I be enjoying the benefits of marriage if we're warring? My old nature wants to see everything before I believe it. My new creation in Christ takes God at his word. If you tell me something, Debbie, I'm going to believe it. You're right? What am I going to believe? I'm going to believe that you're going to do what you say. Now, we're going to get along fine so long as you do what you say. Now, say you don't do what you say. Am I ever going to trust you again? At that level. You understand? At that level. No, I wouldn't. So then I'd back off. You follow, so I wouldn't give you that type of responsibility. And why is that? Well, you didn't honor it. So obviously, it didn't mean enough to you to actually do what you said you was going to do. So you're telling me that you don't even value yourself by doing that. Right, okay. So I've got to come into agreement. If I'm in union, if I want the union to work, I need to be in agreement. Okay, and so that means to get into agreement, I need to have a point of discussion with them. So I need to make an appointment to talk to them specifically about that. You know, look, it may not be a good moment right now. So you say, look, on the weekend, I want 15 minutes of your time to talk to you about this and so. We need to discuss this to come to an agreement that we can put into motion. Yes. Right? Okay. So I have a situation. You know, like today, young people, they're looking for houses. And you remember lies.
Yes.
Remember fear.
Yes.
Okay, so fear, lies, pressure, financial pressure, economic pressure. Now, pressure is also fear. Anxiety, worry, all of that. And that's all the devil's tools.
Yes.
To do what? Control you. You know, when you're dealing with cattle, you have a cattle prod. It's an electric shock. It's like a taser, you know. And you see, that animal is not going to do what needs to happen, you know. Somebody told it that if you go up on that truck, you're going to end up in a butcher's shop. So it's not real happy about going up there, right? So you have an electric prod.
Sheep are the same.
Yeah, they're the same. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the thing is that we need a prod occasionally, right? So we've got to come into agreement. We have make the time where we discuss it. Okay. So with the Holy Spirit, I'm looking for the scriptures. So we're talking about young people. They're all looking for entry into the property market. They can't start thinking about family and all of that because they don't even have a place to live. Most of them even have trouble trying to get somewhere to rent. Okay? But there's all sorts of issues happening there. Nobody's really taken the full picture in mind. And so you've got all this pressure, anxiety. It's destroying people, young people's marriages and relationships. Oh, it's all this stuff. But the point is, if I'm looking for a home to set up, I go back to the Bible, and the Bible tells me that every bird has a nest. And that he tells me in the New Testament that God already knows what I need before I ask. And I need to, as Jesus then taught, he said, ask and keep on asking. And if you ask, you shall receive.
Yes.
Seek, keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and it will open. Okay. So he's not saying to get into a repetitive, doubtful, doubting Thomas type of prayer. He's saying, you will discover if you ask. All right, so if I'm going to ask him, I need to make an appointment first. I want to talk to you, Heavenly Father, about the provision you've already made for me for a home to set up my family. I'm looking in the world system and it's looking chaos, it's looking hopeless, it's horrible. All right, so recognizing the spirits today that is attacking our future, our course of life, our choices, this is all demonic. And we're talking about Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Well, I don't want to be who are you. I don't want to go through the humiliation and the degradation that comes with not knowing Jesus or not knowing how to work with Jesus in union. I don't want to be a disgrace. I want to be an example of the light of God in my life, overcoming and enforcing God's will on the earth, God's provision for the believer.
Hallelujah.
Right? Yeah, so I'm not going to a financial counselor. I'm going to the Holy Spirit, and I want to find out what scripture we can agree on to move forward.
Amen.
He's already got what I need. So I go to the Holy Spirit, make the appointment, go to him with the Bible open, and I do due diligence, right? Get the concordance, probably be able to put it in Google. What scriptures talk about housing? What scriptures talk about provision?
Yes.
Okay, and get the list.
Yes.
Then read them, find out which one, ask the Holy Spirit to even help you with that. Paul, can you come and help me change the bed? Yes. Can you help me come out and dig this ditch? Yes. We're in it together.
Amen.
Geez, that dinner that's on the table every night is absolutely fantastic. I so appreciate that.
At least you may appreciate it.
the young people. Right? If I start going through the provision that God has made for me in advance, if I start going through the scriptures on the housing, dwellings, and, you know, get all the synonyms of housing to go through and to do, study and show yourself approved,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Be serious.
Yes.
Man, I'm coming before the God of creation who has already made a plan for housing for me. And I'm working in the kingdom realm, not in the world, demonic realm.
Amen.
It's a big difference.
Yes.
So I am not looking with these physical eyes at all of the negativity. I'm not listening to all of the fear and it can't happen with my ears.
Yes.
I'm going to go into Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. You see, I'm going back in there. Open up my eyes to the spirit realm. Open up my eyes like Elijah prayed. That's what this prayer was. Open it up. And then he gives you wisdom and supernatural favor. And he gets involved with you in you discovering what he's already put there.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Yes.
You're not thinking about it's not going to happen. If you have faith, you know it's going to happen.
Hallelujah.
But who are you putting your faith in? God. Not in banks, not in any financial institution, not in governments, not in any of that. God.
Hallelujah. Woo.
Whose government do you believe? God's. The kingdom of God is government.
Yes.
That's it.
Amen.
In God we trust. Amen. All right. So you can see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then what do you receive? You get an instruction. Do this. We don't want a system. We want the relationship to bring forth personalized, specific instructions on how to move forward. In union, right? So in partnership with the Holy Spirit, we can move forward.
Yes.
And then once you get a word from the Lord, look, Peter was on a boat, right? That boat was sinking. There was another 11 blokes in that boat.
Yes.
And if they thought that was bad enough that they were looking death in the face, next thing, one of them looks up and says, "My God, there's a ghost walking on the water." You know, you wouldn't have thought that they had anything left after that. They are fearful that they're going to drown. And there's something about that, you know, when the inevitability of death is right there looking at you in the eyes, you know, it's like a lamb to slaughter. They sort of know and they don't fight. They just lay down. Yeah, they just lay down, they give it up. Just like Lorraine was talking about, she lost the will to live. Lost the will to live. My. You might be looking at me right now and you're saying, "Well, that's who I am." Well, I pray that the Holy Spirit strengthen you right now. I pray that he opens your spiritual eyes in Jesus Christ's name. And that the life of the Spirit of God flow to you in Jesus' name right now. Right now. Right now. Receive it. So I receive it. I receive the life that God has planned for me in Jesus' name. And I say no. Say it. Say no, devil, you're not having me. And I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ. Do it now. Yes, Jesus, I want the life that you've ordained for me, and I want to come into union with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so I've made the appointment. I've come prepared, right? I've come prepared to do business, right? I don't go to a bank without a plan. Well, I'm going to the Kingdom Bank. With a plan. What's the plan? A dream.
Yes.
Okay. He says, God says, my plans aren't your plans. Right? So I want a house. So I come with, I want a house. You already know what I want. You already know what my heart's desire would be. And it might be that I have stage one, stage two, stage three before I hit that. You follow? All right. Okay, so I come, but I come with the scriptures that tell me that that's in my inheritance, that provision. Okay, so I've got that. Now, when I come to that place of agreement with the Holy Spirit, okay, so I do the due diligence, I make the appointment with him to discuss it. I come then with an impression of what it is. I'll either hear a still, quiet voice. It'll come up. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So it comes up from your spirit into your consciousness, right? You'll hear it up there. What's it sound like? You. Sounds like you. But its content is Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Your spirit and the Holy Ghost is one.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you think, oh, I don't hear it. Yeah, you hear it. All the busyness. You pray this way. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I give you all my preconceived ideas about the housing situation. And I ask you to cleanse it all through the blood of Christ. I roll it off, or I upload it all to you, for you to take all my preconceived ideas, which primarily is all fear, that I'll never have it. I give you all of that, and I receive your peace and the cleansing of my conscience right now through the blood to receive your impression of what you want me to do as stage one. Jesus' name.
Yes.
Then receive it by faith.
Yes.
Let peace rule your mind. So establish yourself in peace. You might need to turn on some worship music if that's how you're into it, you know. If you can't just turn things off. Okay. You know, the professional sports people, somebody's got to kick the ball for a goal. You know, and all of the opposition are going, yeah, you know, or if it's a pitcher and it's the last thing, and they say, I've seen a better pitcher on the wall, you know, and all of these other sorts of things that they say, you know, you follow, what, to distract them, to get them off. But what they talk about is they get in the zone.
Yes, amen.
Do you understand? You get in the zone. So you tune out
yes.
to tune in. Do you understand what I mean? I want to. Now, I don't stress over it. I don't freak out. I'm not trying to force it. I just zone in. Okay? I zone in. Now, I can hear his voice through my conscience, or I get a quickening, a witness in my heart down here. I get a witness. It's a very strong witness. Okay. I can get an intuitive knowing. And how does that come? Well, it comes up as a thought. It's a thought. God's thoughts aren't ours until we say, I want your thoughts for my life. When I say, God, I want your thoughts, that's what we're doing. God, I want your thoughts in this situation regarding the house, or this situation regarding the inheritance, this situation in the divorce, you know what I mean? Like whatever it is that you're dealing with, what are your thoughts for me in this situation now? So that's why I clean all my thoughts out, thoughts, plans, purposes, obligations, all that stuff. I'll get rid of all of that so that I can hear what his thoughts are. Am I making sense?
Amen.
Right, so now I get his thoughts. Now, that thought, again, it can come packaged, sounds like you. Except when you look at it, if you write it down, and I suggest you do, because You know that old saying, I told you so. Why do they have to say, I told you so? Because they went and did what you said to them, don't do. It's going to, you know, that thing is going to hit you in the head. And they don't take any notice. Ah, it won't happen to me. I'm all right, mate. I'm invincible. I'm bulletproof, you know. And they go and do exactly what you said. And then, bam, it hits them in the head, just like you said. And you see them and you say, I told you so. That's if you're a dummy and you want them to get upset or be even more humiliated. Wisdom wouldn't deal with it that way. Wisdom would know that they're already known. And if you don't say it, that's a bridge for them to come to receive help, especially if they're family. Yeah?
Amen.
So it's no feather in our cap to say, I told you so. But I'm just pointing out to you that the reason that that saying is so common in every culture is because people with wisdom have suggested or shown or demonstrated to the person they're talking to, look, there's a big road, right? You go on this direction, I've been there. It has a 6-foot diameter sinkhole right in the middle. Don't go down that hole. Take my word for it, it's a sinkhole. Right? Now, if they've got wisdom, they'll listen to you and they'll make the adjustment. And if they don't, well, we've already said. Okay. So as far as receiving that thought, I write it down. So it's what I'm saying. When God does speak to me, I need to show the respect it's deserving of. Write it down. Then you're saying to him, I appreciate what you're saying and I'm taking you at your word. Okay? Now, I can discern what he's saying through the scripture. The Spirit of God and the Word of God are not opposed. They are in agreement. Okay? That's why you need to read the New Testament through and get familiar with the flow of how he expresses himself and be able to identify the character requirements of a believer and the new lifestyle, the new man in Christ. So then that way I can discern very quickly what voice I'm hearing. Remember, when God was dealing with Adam in the garden, he said, you listened to an alternative voice. We've got to try, test all the voices. 1 John 4:4 says, don't believe every spirit, but test them. All right? So we get these voices. Okay. And when I made the appointment with God, I can say, Father, in Jesus' name, this is very important. So I'm asking you to oversee my prayer of binding and loosing right now. Okay, so I have put an injunction in, a request into the court of heaven to oversee this time of communication with the Holy Spirit regarding a house. You with me? Okay, so I'm now asking him to be the overseer to ensure that every devil obeys what I'm saying now in Jesus' name. So I bind the devil from talking, interfering, or messing with my receiving the thought of God, God's plan for my life. You're right? In Jesus' name. And I loose the host of heaven to enforce that in the name of Jesus. So now I take it by faith. Now faith is the substance, the confidence for the thing that I have expected or I've asked for will be done. And that confidence is the evidence that I need in my own soul, right? So then I'm anchored. He said, hope anchors your soul. Hebrews 6:19, hope, all right. Now, faith is a substance for things hoped for. The hope is the expectation, the thing that you're looking to happen, right? Okay. So once you've got that confidence, bang. And you get that inner witness on the inside of you. You know when you've done the business. You know when you've done the business. For me, I reach up to the throne when I've asked, and then when it comes to receiving, and I say, I've asked him for the request, so I'm asking you for your thoughts to be imparted to me, and I believe that I receive, Mark 11:24, I believe that I receive now in Jesus' name, and I pull it to myself. As soon as I do that, it's like an act of faith. As soon as I pull it to myself, I get that assurance on the inside of me. I've got the peace and the confidence. He's heard me, and knowing that he's heard me, 1 John 5:14 and 15, I'm confident that he will agree because it's his word I'm standing on, and it's a done deal. It's on its way. You with me? You got it? So each piece that I'm dealing with, I'm releasing my faith. So I said to you earlier, faith, that part. Okay, my part is to believe that God can do what he's promised. In Hebrews 11:6, he says, don't come to God with doubt. You've got to come knowing that he is who he says he is and he can do what he can do. And when you come to him knowing he is who he says he is, the creator of heaven and earth. We were singing it this morning. When you actually believe that, and that you believe that he's not a man that he should lie, and that it's his intention that you succeed, not fail. So he said, if you give good gifts unto children, how much more will I give you what you require through the Holy Spirit? In Luke 11, if your child asked you for a fish, you wouldn't give them a snake. If they asked for bread, you wouldn't give them a stone. And he says, if you can give good gifts to your children, what do you think your Heavenly Father is going to do? What do you think he's going to do? So you've got to come to him knowing that he knows the plan he has for you. Settle it. Be fully persuaded. And be persuaded that you're going to hear from him. Right? Well, that makes all the difference. Now, here's Peter. We're going back there. You thought I forgot. Like I said to you, this is on notes. No notes. They see the ghost. It might be the Lord, somebody says. There's 12 of them there. And Peter, being the impetuous one in the bunch. Is that you, Lord? What a crazy thing to say. You know, it's like those guys that were on a desert island. There's three of them. One of them found an Aladdin's lantern and rubbed it. The genie come out. And said, oh, for the person that finds this lantern, have three wishes. And the first bloke looks at that and says, oh, okay, I want to go home. He's gone. The second bloke says, me too. He's gone. And the other bloke says, oh, all right. So hungry for a steak, and he got the steak. The others went home, and he stayed on the island with one steak. My kids told me, they said, Dad, whatever you do, don't try to tell a joke. If I don't believe that God is who he is, I've lost it. You know? And the armor of God, the armor of God is depicted in the epistles in various ways. It's all got to do with putting on Christ, putting on the new man. Put on the armor of God is to put on the new man, to put on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You put him on. Well, how do I do that? He's in my spirit. I need to let him out.
Yes.
And then I'm walking in him.
Yes.
What? I'm walking in the armor.
Amen.
Woo-hoo! What armor? The armor of light. Praise the Lord. Okay, I just about preached myself happy, I did. So, faith. Okay, okay, good. So I've got that scripture, whichever it is. I've come to him, I've made the appointment, I've come to him, we've discussed it, he's given me that, his thought, his plan for the house, right? Okay. Now what that scripture is that I'm standing on, it may be that it's Philippians 4:19, for my God meets all my needs and causes riches and glory by Christ Jesus, right? Okay. I take that scripture, I write it out, and I keep that scripture before me. Okay? I keep that scripture before me, and I'm looking at it. Now I'm meditating it. And I say again with my partner, the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me meditate this scripture. Right? I need this planted in my soul to produce a great tree.
Amen.
On it. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, so I'm going to meditate that. Joshua 1:8. Say Joshua 1:8. Meditate, meditate, meditate the word. And what's the result? Your meditation causes you to identify the correct route that's already ordained to be prosperous. It deals with any enemy. Okay. One of the biggest things that the devil does to get us off our faith is intimidation that comes through fear. What if? Like one of the biggest things that the devil always says to a Christian is, you're wasting your life. And what are they comparing what you're doing to what they're doing? Well, you're not getting drunk anymore, and you're not partying anymore, or you're not doing all this other stuff. You've got a different lifestyle. So from their perspective, you're missing out on living. Do you understand? But they're not in union. I mean, a person is a single person that's decided to stay single looking at married people, and they say, well, you've just got a ball and chain around you, mate. You can't make any decision for yourself. You're a prisoner. You know, you do what that woman says. You're a fool. Says who? Says a person that goes home and cooks his own dinner. Does his own washing. No, I've got a plan. And it involves my wife, my partner.
Yes, amen.
We're in this together.
Amen.
We've chose a married life. You chose a single life. You chose a partying life, drug life, and the rest of it. Let's have a look at you when you get to 50. Let's see what the fruit of your endeavor is. You understand? Like I'm looking at mine.
Yes.
I'm not telling you how to live your life. Intimidation. And any devil that comes up to you and says you're wasting your life, what's he trying to sell you? The same thing he was selling Eve. The same thing that Adam swallowed. The same thing that cost Adam everything. No. Now you're going to have the party in. I want what God wants.
Amen.
Okay. So my God meets all my needs in accordance with riches and glory with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I meditate. Now when that thing starts talking to me, that's revelation. When I say, you know, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, okay, how do I apply this? For my God meets all my needs, house. For my God will meet the need for my house through Christ's glory. Glory is presence, that is the realm. So this earth realm is in the realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
So we are living inside of the Spirit realm. They can see us, hear us, smell us, all of that. We can't see them, hear them, or anything, you know. But they can walk in and out. I meditate that scripture. My God meets all my needs, and it'll start to come alive. And then it starts cutting out all of the fear and the garbage and starts filling you up with light. The entrance of your word brings light, and God is light, and that's what you're looking for. Where's that going? Into your soul. Out of a good man's soul, he brings forth or births good things. Okay, so I plant into the soil of my soul the word of God. I plant it when I'm meditating it, and it comes alive to me. Okay. Now, when I speak that scripture now, when it's come alive to me, and then when I start speaking it, I'm in agreement with my partner, Holy Spirit, right? So I am choosing to say it, believing it.
Amen.
So I'm mixing the word of God with my belief.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit says yes and amen and rides on it. Then I get a Job 22:28. I get a decree. I get a command of power, faith. So there's a faith declaration there now. So now what am I doing? I'm saying an anointed word that's alive. I'm in Isaiah 55:11 territory.
Yes.
My word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish the assignment it's been set on. And it will prosper in that assignment. Okay, so now I am doing what God taught Abraham. Romans 4:17. I am calling my daughter's dog's name's Link. Okay? Link. Yes. It always wants to run away. So they call it the missing Link. So I'm calling Link! Right? Am I say, when I say Link, am I wanting it to take off or am I wanting it to come?
To come.
Yes, exactly. So he says, God calls those things that are not as though they were. So God says, God calls the house that I've ordained for this young couple, come forth. And then I agree with him and I say, house ordained for me in the courts of heaven, in Jesus' name, come forth.
Ooh, glory, hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah.
Watch. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. This is the Holy Spirit we're talking about. This is my covenant partner. This is my marriage partner. I am involved with this incredible power in me. Lord, I don't believe it when I see it. I haven't experienced that. That sounds like a lot of rock to me. Doubting Thomas.
Yes.
You know Jonah?
Yes.
Man. God says, go deliver this message. That's what he was saying. Oh, God. You had all these other prophets, and I want to excel like them. He said, give me a job. He says, right, Jonah, take this message to the king of Nineveh. Jonah says, no! No! So he rebelled. God's word sent forth won't return void. It will accomplish what he sent it to do.
Amen.
The ship that Jonah was traveling on come on to some really rough seas, and the captain of the ship threw everything off to try to save their lives at the end. Lost the cargo, lost everything. And then they finally got down to the tin tacks. They said, which one of you crew has upset or ticked off your God? And they all said, no! But there's a passenger underneath. And they went and grabbed him and they said, have you ticked your God off? He says, yes. He said, do you realize we're in a storm because of you? He said, oh, well, just throw me overboard and it'll stop. I mean, who needs that? It's like Peter. He's in the storm, right? And I was talking to you about those three guys on the island and I lost the point. I'm back. So here's old Peter. He says, come, Lord. He didn't say, Lord, if that's you, get this boat to the other side. Lord, stop the storm. Lord, you know. He didn't say any of those practical things. He's under pressure and he's... So he says, if that's you, Lord, bid me come. So he gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water because Jesus said, come. What else could Jesus have said? I mean, I'm just running past you here now. There's a few things. If I come to God and say, God, it's a hopeless situation with this housing stuff. And I feel like a failure because I can't get a house. I got married, but I can't go anywhere with it. Well, what's the use of that? It's just like saying, if that's you, Jesus, come. It's just like the guy saying, oh, Jesus, I really want a steak. And he's still on the island. You know, like, come on. That's why you need to study to show yourself approved. Make it any sense to you? So when he says that this massive power is on the inside of you. All right, so there's my wife. And I tell her that she looks terrible. And you're a good for nothing, useless thing. You know, I don't even know why I feed you. And I'm giving her this sort of verbal treatment every day. And I'm wondering why she's just shriveling up, you know, and dying. And there's nothing coming out. And so then I'm going to demand that you give me a hug. I'm going to demand that you love me. I've got to force that to come out. Why? Because it's dead. And 1 Corinthians 3 says that the woman is the man's garden. And whatever the man plants in the woman, she becomes. And whatever he wants in the woman, he should plant. And so if he plants the right words in her, she's going to respond. Right? And now I'm saying, here's the Holy Spirit. I keep talking about fear. I keep talking about what's not happening. I'm meditating on what's not happening in my life. I'm meditating on all the bad stuff. That's all I'm thinking about. My imagination is chock-a-block full of crap. You know, one person said to me years ago, how am I going to hear the voice of God? Well, I said, well, if you give him as much airtime as you do the radio, you'd have no trouble tuning in God. But you've got the world tuned in. Boy, all you're hearing is the world, the world, the world, the world, the world, the world. You ain't got time for God.
Amen.
And if you treat him like that, well, why do you think he can't explode in you? But if you open up and you start praising him and you start exalting his name, he'll explode on the inside of you and you'll find that those rivers of living water, the joy of the Lord, will start pumping through every part of you and you'll be saying, whoa! Glory to God. My Jesus is alive. God ain't dead.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
Okay. So, doubting Thomas, eat your heart out. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union, your marriage with the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Stand victorious. Praise God. Oh, I'm never going to get your house. Oh, no, nothing ever good happens to me. You useless failure. That's what the devil is saying.
Yes.
Running you down. And God says, you're victorious.
Yes.
You need a mindset change.
Hallelujah.
You need an explosion in your head. You're thinking wrong.
Yes.
Stinking thinking sinks ships.
Yes. Amen.
Loose lips sink ships. Empty vessels make the most. My goodness gracious me, who can give some people a medal of honor for whinging? Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. You have to take time to know the Holy Spirit. I had to take time to get to know my wife. It was the best investment of time that I made. You know, for that fella that we're walking down a shopping aisle and Helen asked me to get something off the top shelf or whatever, and I'm pushing the trike, you know, I'm pushing that thing. That's what blokes do when they're trying to look intelligent in a supermarket. So I'm doing the intelligent thing for a bloke. I'm well trained. And that's what this guy is saying. He's saying that I'm a dog and that she's the master, you see. And so I parked the trolley over to the side, being courteous, you know, so that others can get around me and not sideways so that you get a traffic jam. I moved to the side. I'm thinking about others. And this guy starts laughing and carrying on. And I picked the thing up and he said something. She's got you well trained. What is it? Oh, he's my wife's talking now. He said, I am my wife's slave. Then what did my wife say?
He's not my slave. He's my knight in shining armor.
My wife said, he's not my slave. He's my knight in white shining armor. A man on my chest went like this. I was like, ho! Ha! Woo! And that guy shriveled. He never thought that my wife would say anything like that. To tell you the truth, I didn't think I'd either. I was gobsmacked. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Verse 11, Ephesians 6:11. Put on God's complete. Say complete.
Complete.
Not part. You've got to put on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
Put on God's complete set of armor provided for you so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Okay, so we are in a fight. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, so that fight that we're in is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. This is what we're up against. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer. So a slanderer is telling you that you would be, if you could be, you're useless, you're going to be sick and wasted, like they said to Lorene, she's going to spend the rest of her time in a wheelchair. Good luck with that. So it's slandering. It's always putting down, putting down, putting down. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. So he says, thanks be unto God who causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:14. So no matter how long that valley of the shadow of death is, the end of it is always the banqueting table. It is victory. It's smile, man. It is good. You go into a conflict, but you know how you're going to come out winning.
Yes.
But you go in knowing as you win. So you go in as a winner, not a loser.
Amen.
So he says, stand victorious, right? You getting the idea?
Yes.
Okay. Amen. Then he says, put on truth. See, it's put on truth. So that's the word of God. How did Jesus deal with the devil in the days of temptation? It is written. So if he says, you're going to be doing without your food, you say, oh no, devil, my God meets my daily needs. Matthew 6. No, not the slightest bit concerned about my daily needs. If he has to send crows to deliver it, I'll eat. So I refuse to take your fear. I refuse to take your worry. See, if I'm listening to all of that, I'm not listening to God telling me where to be, what to say, where to go to get what I need. Do you follow?
Yes.
When you go out, you're blessed. When you come back in, you're blessed. So if you're not blessed when you're in, go out. Like, get it moving.
Amen.
I'm in the kingdom of God. Act like it.
Yes.
Get your expectation flowing in line with what God says.
Ooh, glory,
right? Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. So fill your mouth with what God says. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Righteousness in right standing with God through the precious blood of Jesus. Stand on your feet alert. Now, when you suck anxiety and fear and hopelessness and uselessness and inferiority, you're on the carpet begging. You're begging. Oh, God, please, God. You're totally oppressed by the devil. And that does not impress God. The devil is standing up there saying to God, look at your child down there, groveling in its own snot and tears. On its back like a turtle, completely and utterly deplorable. It's one of your saints, God. Although the righteous may go down seven times, they'll get back up. Woo! Why? Because somebody is praying for them. God help you if no one's praying for you. When you're having a tough time, you want to thank God that people love you enough, love God enough to spend some of their life praying for you.
Amen.
And because somebody is praying for you, you get lifted back up.
Amen.
But by geez, not without a rebuke, not without a kick in the pants, right? Should never get down into that place in the first. Why? Because you're listening to the wrong voice. You're listening to the wrong voice. Stand on your feet alert, and then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith in every battle. How many battles? Every battle. Take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts. See, you protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, sword. That's the word of God in your mouth, in faith that the Holy Spirit inhabits, of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. Hallelujah. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Well, that must be part A. That must be part A. So I think that's a good place to stop. I've got a few notes here, you know, back and front and all this. I suppose about a week's worth there. I don't usually do series, but it could well be that this one needs more. So we'll see. God's got the plan, eh?
That's awesome.
All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the privilege to be in union with the Holy Spirit. We pray earnestly that you teach us how to cooperate with Holy Spirit in a greater measure than ever before.
Yes, Lord.
That we can truly start to experience the fullness of that explosive power of his presence in everything that we do, think, meditate, imagine, dream of, in Jesus Christ's name. That not only will we see and perceive and understand and receive the plans and the purposes of God for our life, but we'll also have his wisdom in applying it in Jesus' name, so that we can see how to do what we need to do to receive the purposes and the plan and provision and resources that God has for us to move forward. And we, Father, will decree that with God, these things in the present climate seem impossible to men, but with God, all things are possible, and all things are possible for those who believe. And you've got to change the way you're thinking in Jesus' name. So I'm praying that there be a complete revolution of light in your mind, in your thinking, in Jesus' name. And that the thoughts of God will become freely flowing towards you in Jesus' name. And when you get them, remember, they're on assignment and they will come to pass. Isaiah 55:11. So be encouraged in Jesus Christ's name, and in Christ, resist the intimidation to fear. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, God bless you. God bless you.